and it works fine. And she is, speaking of cars with limited roof space, she has a 4.5 or 5 inch wide metal strip that goes from one side of the car to the other behind her moonroof thingy, glass sky thing that she's got going there. So, you know, Greg, I totally get that whole notion. Although we could have clipped something on the hatch, could have done a trunk lift mount on the hatch, but we decided not to. Now, I'm going to give you my own story. On my Dodge Journey, there are three mounts in the front of the car, and they're toward the front of the car, at least a quarter wave of 2 meters back from the windscreen. But there are two of them, one on each side, and then one in the center, but behind the other two. They're NMO mounts, and the two in the front. And one has a dual-band Anley antenna, one has a tri-band Anley antenna. I have identical radios on them. And I flipped them back and forth between the two antennas, and I can tell you that the radios perform identically, the antennas do not, because the tri-band Anley does not work as well on 2 meters and 440 as does the dual-band one. And the way you tell the difference in this case is that the dual-band has a little curlicue open kind of, open kind of thing for the 2 meter 440, whereas the 2 meter 220/440 has some sealed coils that are actually physically smaller, but they're encased in plastic, blah blah. It just absolutely does not perform anywhere near as well. And when I say anywhere near as well, I'm saying 6 to 12 dB different. I mean, there's something really majorly different depending on where I am as to how noticeable it really is. Now, close in, it doesn't seem to matter, but it does seem to matter over time and over space. So that's just something to think about. The third mount, by the way, is a 3/8-24 on a small spring, and I use a short 40-meter whip fed by a tuner and I have buried in the car along with an auto tuner buried in the car along with the radio, and then the control head for the 7000s up on the console with the control head for the V7As. So that's how I've got mine set up. Anybody else have any thoughts?
VIR.
Go ahead, Howie.
It seemed like a tangent, but the antenna I'm using right now is the mag mount, and I've used mag mounts on the car over the years. I have a number of mag mounts antennas around here, but my regular antenna on the car is a trunk lid mount. The thing I want to communicate is sooner or later with a mag mount, you will scratch your car. I don't care. You know, I've had a number of different mag mounts, and sooner or later, you're going to scratch the car. And everyone tries to use a mag mount because they think that's what's not going to happen. But in my experience, that is exactly what happens. A2EIR.
Yeah, if you're drill the damn hole in the center of the roof, or as best you can. And, you know, even if it's a quarter wave on 2 meters, a quarter wave screwed into the middle of your roof works better than a 5/8 anywhere else, honest. And no scratching.
W2TKE,
go.
Let the record show that my Honda is a leased vehicle. And I'm not going to drill a hole in a leased vehicle.
No, absolutely not. See, there you go. Better to have to compound out the scratches, right?
Exactly. Because I've seen how the end of lease inspection process goes. And I know a hole is not going to be treated too kindly, even if you plug it.
Yeah, I mean, they have no sense of humor about such things. And I totally get that. To me, I put on too many miles to lease a vehicle. For instance, I've had this vehicle 17 months, and I put on 50,000 miles.
Connected KZ2WDWKD2FIG. Timeout.
Okie dokie. Do we have somebody on Echo Link who wants to join us? Yeah, I'll take that as a no. All right, anybody else have any comments on the topic of mobile antennas? All righty, we're going to call it square there. Any other questions, any new topic? Okie dokie. Well, I want to thank everybody for their rather enlightened participation tonight. And also, again, I want to thank Howie and the rest of the gang for keeping the filaments warm, as they say, during the last couple of weeks, and running fine net, participating in fine net. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for doing that, and nice to know that this net is going along strong. Even when I can't be there, I do have one other announcement, and that's regarding NS2K. For those who don't know. Jim used to live in the area, worked for ABC, and had a glioblastoma diagnosis a few months back, and not taking radiation, he's not taking chemo. We visited him a couple of weeks ago on several occasions, both my wife and me, and also on a second occasion with our son, our oldest son, James, who lives in Phoenix, and got his ham radio station all squared away, but in all honesty, shortly after we left, his condition kind of got worse. He's been basically only taking liquids since Friday, has been bedridden, but he is very much at peace and ample of grace, really is. But those of us who knew him up here and enjoyed his company should know that he's in the best of care. He's got hospice in his home. He is not in the hospital. In addition to the hospice, the professional hospice people who come in, his sister-in-law, and who's a hospice nurse in her own right, specializing in oncology patients, ironically enough, and his brother Paul are out there with him, looking after him, and numerous other local friends. And if any of you guys remember Corey Holder, also as a ham, but not very active. Corey flew out over the weekend, and or earlier this week, I should say, and is staying with them and looking after Jim literally minute for minute as well, and giving Gail and Paul a break. So, Jim is in a bad way, yet Jim is in a good place. So, I just want everybody to know that, and prayers for Jim and all those around him. All those who knew him, including yourselves, are in order tonight and over the ensuing night. Challenging time. Just for reference, when I got to see Jim, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, last Wednesday, I guess it was, a little slow, but talking and out in the yard, making plans for doing this and that, and wanted this untangled and that untangled, and this antenna put up and that antenna put up, so we were doing that. And he literally had a seizure standing up in his driveway. I grabbed him before he hit the pavement, but that was the first of a recurring series of those kinds of things because they're a function of the tumor. So anyway, Jim is quite the example to us all. We should all be so graceful and gracious. All right, on that note, thanks everybody for your participation tonight. This is KTBAR, thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club and the Bergen Amateur Association for a lovely net, and wishing you all a good evening. W2TTT.
Hey, Gordon, did you drive out to Phoenix? This is KTBAR.
Oh, you betcha. And back.
Wow, okay. You know, I was out there last month because my mother was out there, and she passed away. I was out there to see her go, but I flew.
Sorry. Oh my. I left my mom last year. generation?
Oh, she has a sister who's still alive, but it's getting close. You know, her oldest sister went a couple of years ago. She's the youngest of the three. Both my brother and I mean, my brother just wrote me an email today and said he missed her. My frustration was that she was losing her hearing, and so she wouldn't talk on the phone, and she wouldn't let me send her a hearing-assisted phone, so I haven't had any good conversations with her for a few years, so, and even when I was out there, she wasn't lucid very much of the time. We also had a hospice in her apartment, so that's my only sort of regret. I would have liked to have had a couple of more good conversations with her. She wanted to die. She was in pain, a lot of pain, a fractured spine. She had cancer for 25 years, which was metastasized, and she had broken her ribs. So, you know, it was like, it was a merciful thing. But, so she was ready and accepting. And, of course, with hospice care, she wasn't in as much pain and all that. So I can accept that. I just, as they say, I miss the fact that I didn't have some good conversation.
You know the old story, you can lead them to water, but you can't make them drink, so. Yeah, I know. You know, we had a similar issue with computers with my mother years ago, and I was like, oh, Lord. She just adamantly refused to do anything to deal with that kind of thing. We even got her a display that unbelievably straightforward and simple. We couldn't even go the route of a phone with big numbers and big digits. Not that she needed that, but that was just to emphasize the simplicity and that kind of thing. So she didn't want to go down that path either. So, ay, ay, ay. Anyway, my condolences, Howie. They caught us sure.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we've sort of been through the thing. You know. You never truly get over it, right? You always remember your parents. I think, you know, when my father passed in 2004, there were times I had some dreams of him, and we didn't have very much in the way of photos or videotapes or whatever, and I used to say that those dreams were really good because my father used to tell jokes, and I would see him in my dreams telling a joke or smiling, and I said, I'm glad I could dream in color because those were my movies.
yeah, like that country music song. You should have seen it in color. Anyway, very good. Well, I'm in the car and I would like to transition. Well, I really don't want to transition through the rain to the house, but I want to transition to the house, so take my leave, Howie.
I understand. Bye-bye, 73. Keep dry. K2EIR.
You have a rain jacket. That's the good news. Anyway, 7-3, and the upshot of this trip is Nancy started to look at motorhomes and camping trailers, which is amazing. But anyway, on that note, K2EIR and the group W2TTT.
KC2WDW disconnected. And
Charlie, KD2, VOR.
Left a little bit early. I've got two pieces of plastic I want to give you so you have time to play around with them and see what you can do. If they're not thick enough or if they're too thick, well, I don't... One of them's definitely not not too thick. Anyway, when I get there, I'll show them to you.
Yeah, very good. No problem. I'll probably be in and out here a little bit. I got a ton of garbage here today. I'm just checking my email now, but I may say I'll be back in a few minutes.
I just wanted to let you know I'm coming up there. I just got on the road myself. KD2 VOR and 1LU mobile.
I'll tell you, eBay must think I'm a millionaire. I get more emails from them about stuff that's on sale.
Yeah, well, once you start looking at things on eBay, it knows what you're looking at. And so it just keeps sending you anything at all related to that that particular field that you're looking in.
They give me fields that I don't even look at.
I guess somehow they feel they're related in some aspect, I don't know. But, yeah, I get that all the time, too. Because I look at camera, you know, you look at tripods. Next thing I know, I'm getting a million things about cameras.
I'll tell you, the two guys or whoever it was who designed eBay, they gotta be billionaire, whatever, trillionaires.
Even Amazon does the same thing. On my, and probably on yours, too, on your QRZ webpage. Over to the right, you'll see advertisements for, you know, whatever you've just recently searched for. When I was looking for your pet gates, hadn't bought one yet, but just researching them. When I turned the computer on and went on to QRZ, that's my homepage anyway, over in the right-hand corner were a couple of ads for pet gates.
Yeah, they got a way of just luring you in.
I just wish Amazon had... they do have good prices on certain things. Other things are more expensive than you can buy them elsewhere. But Amazon's pretty amazing how quickly they ship stuff. I think I bought just as many things off of Amazon as I have off of eBay.
Do you remember searching on eBay about the MH-31? The last one on a page is just a housing with a hole drilled in the center of it.
No, I never saw that one.
Yeah, the guy's from United Kingdom. It's just a no cord. There's probably no guts in it. With a hole drilled in the front on the grill. He wants $19.37, probably bus shipping for it.
Well, you know what they say, there's a lid for every pot. I'd watch that just to see if it's sold.
N10U, KD2BR. Well, it's been up there since I was searching for a 31, so I don't think it's going too fast.
Can't believe it's still raining out. Is it doing anything by you?
Yeah, it's raining.
Great. It's going to be a wonderful ride in. Talking about snow flurries tomorrow morning.
Well, look out this time of the year when they say flurries, God forbid.
I'm finally able to see my lawn, and it's not a pretty sight.
Nah, Debbie's looks like straw. It's all yellow. I gotta get out there pretty soon and start putting some stuff on it. All right, I'll put this down for a couple minutes and go back to this car. I'll be back in a little bit, Charlie. KD2VOR.
All right, if I don't come back to you, it means I'm in the mobile stop getting coffee. KD2VOR and 1LU, mobile. N1LU, mobile.
Kid drops off a car for a headlight. I'm almost sure I'm not going to have this bulb in stock.
I hate changing headlight bulbs. Some of them are so tough to get to, especially on the Civic.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me about it. Some of these cars, you have to drop the front bumper cover to remove the headlight in order to change a bulb.
I don't know why they make it so difficult. You would think they put a little thought into maintenance on a car after it's built, make things a little bit easier.
That would be too easy.
Yeah, I don't know if they think they're giving, doing the mechanics a favor so that people can't do it themselves. You know, maybe that's part of it. They don't want you to do it yourself. If it's too easy, you would attempt it.
Car is strange. It's listing two different headlight bulbs for it, both low beam.
What's the car?
012 Hyundai Sonata.
Oh, okay. A friend of mine, his ex-wife just bought a Hyundai. I thought she paid a lot. I mean, monthly, she's buying it. It's a $20,000 car. She put $3,000 down, and her payments are almost $300 a month. $375. $275. Seemed like a lot with $3,000 down, and she's financing it over 5 years.
$1,000 car. You gotta think about all the other added extras, including the sales tax.
Yeah, that's true too. Financing it over 6 years. My payment on my car is a little over $300, just a little, but I didn't put anything down on mine, and I'm financing it the same amount of time, and mine was over 20.
Yeah, I spread my truck over 5 years, $10,000 down, so I didn't have to pay sales tax on that $10,000 trade-in. The tax is paid on the trade when it's sold. And my payments over 5 years with everything else added in was still $323 a month.
Wow, $10,000 down.
Woo.
Yeah, we never put money down on cars. We try to negotiate the best price and deal with whatever the monthly payment is. Even when my wife leases, she doesn't put any money down.
Yeah, well, Debbie was getting that BMW that time, so we used that truck as a trade because it was starting to have problems. Let me check my phone. I think Steve just texted me back again.
Okay, I'll be here. N1LU, mobile.
N1LU, KD2BOR. I got the bulb for his headlight and the taillight. I researched. I think I remembered putting a bulb in this car before, so I looked at a past invoice and found out what bulb I put in the last time.
What was my son's car? Was that a Sonata, too?
Remember, I'll look it up. 2009 Sonata.
Yeah, I'll be driving that thing back this summer, or this spring, I guess, and driving it back down there in August. This time, I think he's learned his lesson. He's not going to share an apartment. Hope we can get out of this thing with minimum amount of money involved. One of the roommates backed out, but my son and his other roommate have been made paying the difference. Not to mention their boys. Every time I go there, the place is a pigsty. So I can only imagine I guess they're going to keep the security deposit. Hopefully he doesn't charge us anymore. I'd like to get out of this thing and never get back in again. I knew it was a mistake when he said he wanted to do it, but can't argue with him. We said, okay, good luck.
Yeah, what are you going to do? I thought he was going to be almost over. I thought he was going to be done earlier.
He is. He'll probably be done in December. this year. But he's, you know, he's got to go back for, you know, a couple of more months, you know, half a semester, I guess a semester, one more semester, and then he's done. So he's on campus this time, thank God. So that means a little less moving. I told him, I said, when you're getting ready to come back home in May, sell whatever you don't want. You know, I gave him my old recliner. That thing's pretty beat. I said, you know, sell it for $10, $20, whatever, just so I don't have to carry it downstairs and find a place to throw it away. He's on, like, the top floor, the fourth floor. That was a nightmare getting all that stuff up there.
Oh, my God. I can imagine. All right, let me pull this other car over here for the headlight from the other side. 82BR.
Okay, just got on the Deegan, N1LU, mobile.
Well, this headlight bulb don't look too hard to change.
Oh, well, that's good.
Had a few texts back and forth from Willie when I got home from Debbie's yesterday. He asked us again what time we're on. I said anywhere between 1:30 and 2 o'clock, so he might jump in tonight, I guess.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, he sounded good the last time I talked to him. It was, I guess, a couple of days ago. I think it was this week. And I heard him on the CBS Retirees Net, I don't know if it was Monday or Wednesday. Brought my HT to work. Actually, I left mine at work. I can't remember where the hell I left it. I left it with the book with all those parts that I have to get. I left it all at work, so I wasn't able to order them. So I'll bring it home today and order the parts, and then I'm going to order the. I think I'll, you know what I'll do. I'll order the two WENY. I'll order two packages of those, and then you just give me the money when they come in.
Yeah, all right. Because I don't know if I wanted her to see anything else coming through right now. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Been there, done that.
That last site that I sent you, he was talking about that hole in the middle of that plastic was 10 millimeter. One of the sites said something about a Panasonic, you know, electric, however you say that, condenser mic. I found a 10 millimeter one on eBay, but I don't need 18 of them for $741 and free shipping. I can't find anybody who sells, like, you know, two.
Yeah, bring that up when I come over there. I want to see those. Yeah, I saw that where he mentioned Panasonic. He said Panasonic back, B-A-C-K. I was wondering if he was meaning black, B-L-A-C-K. You know, some things are lost in translation.
That site that I found yesterday that he showed that plastic, I put that up on my desktop.
Yeah, I gotta show you how to, I think I did, how to save a bookmark a site. Then you can find it. That way you don't have to clutter your desktop with stuff whenever you get on a site that you want to save. You bookmark it, and then you go into your bookmarks, and you look for the site. Click on it, it comes up right away.
Believe me, my desktop is not cluttered. I got plenty of room to add a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going with the plastic, but I'm bringing these pieces anyway. I may still go with the foam, the thicker piece of foam, because that'll encase the whole element and keep vibrations down to a minimum. The plastic's a good idea, but I'm not sure if I'm going to go that route.
Well, I'm going to give it a shot and see if I can cut a piece out. If I do like that, I'm just a little bit more meticulous. That looks a little bit more professional to me. I don't know. Cardboard. I was going to put foam in the mic anyway. All the sites show putting foam in it. It takes up some of the space inside the microphone and probably vibration and stuff like that. But I don't know. His plastic piece does look professional.
Yeah, I'm just the felt on the front of the you know, the clamshell, the mic shell.
N10U KD2BOR. Well, I don't imagine that the OE one, the factory cartridges in there, is up against that felt either. I highly doubt that. You don't want that little felt, you don't want that felt touching that soft spot. You haven't taken your microphone apart yet, I guess.
No, but I saw that one that was taken apart, and it looks like the mic element is encased in that black ground plastic and maybe slightly recessed. So when that presses up against the front of the microphone, you know, plastic housing, it probably leaves a little bit of a gap. But I'm saying if you use the plastic, what's to keep the mic element from pressing up against the, you know, the felt that's on the grill to that mic?
Well, if you make the hole the right size with a little bit of resistance to push the mic element into that plastic, you do some testing with something similar to it to get your, I know how to do that with stuff, get some distance so you know where to do it. Then it wouldn't bother me to put a little dab of hot glue on the opposite side of that, you know, in like two or three spots just to keep the element there. But the element just isn't going to just float around in there. You're going to want to make that center hole where there's some resistance when you push the element in.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck with that. Although I guess you've got an extensive amount of tools. I guess you'd make that hole with a drill bit. What, a 10 millimeter drill bit or something slightly smaller, and then file it out with the foam. You can make the hole a little smaller or even a lot smaller and then just push in the element, and the foam itself will wrap around the element and kind of hold it in place.
Well, the first thing I would do is probably drill it out. You got to go steps at a time. You can't just run a drill right through it. I would probably end up drilling the hole to 3/8, because 3/8 is slightly smaller than 10 millimeter.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I was wondering what the conversion was. None of my drill bits are in millimeters. They're all, you know, American increments.
Yeah, there's a couple sizes in metric that are the same as American, like 7/16 and 11 millimeter, 16 millimeter and 5/8, basically 19 and 3/4 are very close. Some metric is the same as American.
What do you know about capacitors? I had a hell of a time finding the right value of capacitors for this project, because a lot of them were in what is it, picofarads and nanofarads, and they weren't always listed as such. What I had to do is I went to a site where you convert one way or another from pico to nano, or vice versa, and that's how I was able to match them up. I'm hoping what I'm getting is the right components. They don't always match up, you know, with what it says in the drawing. You have to go one step further. But I found a good site. I got to try to print out the conversion table that they have. It was pretty cool.
That is all Greek to me. I just go by the readings, what I can find. I'm a little better with electrolytics. Like when I recapped my Cobra 2000, a lot of times when I put an electrolytic cap in any type of electronic piece, they put the bare minimum working voltage to work in the circuit. Sometimes that's not enough. Say I had a electrolytic that was rated at, just say, 10 volt working volts. Of course, they're going to be a hair bigger. You would want to put one in with maybe 15 or 20 volts. It'll just work better in the circuit and handle the load.
Yeah, well, the one, KD2BOR N1LU, the one in the mod that we're doing, when I looked at it closely, it's 63 volt. I think it's a 1 nanofarad or something. Electrolytic at 63 volts, so I couldn't find 63. So I just found 50. I figured that was good enough.
Oh, of course it would be. Don't forget, we're only doing the working voltage on this whole project. You're only tapping off 5 volts inside the mic that's coming out of the radio.
Yeah, well, I didn't know, I don't know much about capacitors, how they exactly work, and I didn't know if the voltage was that far off, if it would be a problem. But then when I saw the guy was using a 63-volt capacitor in the project, I figured a 50 was fine because that was a little closer, not much, but a little closer to the working 5 volts, so it's got plenty of room, voltage-wise. You know, and I know, I think the higher the voltage, sometimes the bigger the capacitor. And I want to get something that's small enough to fit in here. It's hard to get a perspective how big these things are when you got them all blown up and they're like 5 inches across on your screen. But I have a funny feeling that, once we get these parts, they're all going to be really tiny.
Yeah, the last site that his mod looks a little different than some of the other ones. I guess he's still feeding the mic cartridge with 5 volts, but he's got an 8.2K resistor in line, just like ENY has got a resistor in line from the power, and we're picking it up in the microphone.
I guess the mic doesn't need that much voltage, so that's why you put the resistor in line to drop down the voltage a little bit. I don't think those electric mic elements need that much voltage. So I guess that's the only thing I can assume is that he's dropping the voltage down.
There is a working voltage on that mic, and it's variable. But I think what they're doing with the resistor is, by changing the amount of voltage going to the cartridge, may change the characteristics of it, of what kind of sound you're going to get out of it.
Yeah, the project from scratch, doesn't take into consideration the W2 ENY keys that he made up. And I'm curious, I never saw what value resistor he's using, W2 ENY, tells you in the project what value resistor he used. So I'm wondering which one he chose, unless I just didn't read it good enough.
Well, if we do go with his, all we're going to do is get the colors off the resistor and we'll find out what it is.
Yeah, if you can see it, he's got it, he's got shrink wrap around it or some sort of tubing. I don't know if that tubing slides off. I mean, I guess if you wanted to, you could take that tubing off, check the value of the resistor, and then put another piece on.
They list some couple different size elements. I see that on eBay. Some of them were so tiny, it was unbelievable. A lot of that stuff was used in security.
And darn, I wasn't paying attention. I'm heading towards work, so I'm going to have to get to your place the long way. I didn't stay on 46 to get 17 south.
Jesus, that's early. It's only 1:45. All right, let me start changing this bulb. I'll be on the side. KD2BOR.
All right, N1LU mobile. I'm guessing once the once we get all the parts together, that's probably an evening's worth of work to get that thing up and running. I'm going to try to chronicle it with photographs and the recordings. I'm going to record, in fact, I'll do that this weekend, record the way my mic sounds now on Simplex, and maybe on a repeater, too. Maybe if I get up early enough and you're around, I'll set up my HT upstairs with my phone recording and go on 955 so I can get some before and after recordings.
Yeah, very good. I'm looking at some electrolyte 10mm once more. Here's a guy, he's ridiculous. He wants $4.95 a piece for them with free shipping. Here's another guy who's got 10 pieces of 10mm cartridge, $4.44 free shipping. That's Hong Kong.
Screw that. We'll never get those things. Take forever. I wonder where they came up with the 10mm size.
I don't know. I have no clue. Here's another one. 10mm by 11mm. That's the height of it. That's no problem. And it's got a two wires on it already.
Oh, really? Yeah, that would make it nice and convenient.
Yeah, but he's too expensive. He wants $6.50 with free shipping. I like the idea. I don't have to be soldering any wires onto that element. Believe it or not, his location, Linden, New Jersey.
Hey, too bad there wasn't a ham fest the next couple of weeks. Unfortunately, the bar is not till, when the hell is the bar? May, I think. Because I'm sure we can find everything we need there.
Yeah, we probably could. I wouldn't have no problem giving this guy $6.50 for this element with the wires soldered to it. I'm going to still look around. I just put it in my watch list.
Yeah, I hope I can find that book. I can't remember where the hell I left it.
Not for nothing. You'll probably find your wall warts for the THF-6 when you find the book.
I wish, but I don't think so. I don't know where the hell that is. I don't know if I left it in California or what. But I was pretty good. I mean, I walked through that place. After we loaded up the car, I walked through that place one more time. And I just didn't see it. I don't know where the hell that thing is. It really annoys me because it was the original that came with it. I can't find the originals anywhere. You know, they have plenty of aftermarket, but nobody's selling an original. I just charged my THF-6 yesterday. It was getting a little low, and I charged my other Baofeng that was almost dead. So I've got my two HTs all charged up, ready to go. I'm going to that AM get-together tomorrow morning. Learn a little bit more about the... that's all they talk about on the local repeater by me is the DMR radios.
Yeah, you were mentioning that. You know what? If there's a place up... somebody was talking about on 880 yesterday, going up to an electronics store. Wayne Electronics? I didn't know that Wayne Electronics existed. I think it's Wayne. I'm not sure.
I was thinking of looking at my local Radio Shack. I may do that on vacation if it's not closed already. I don't think it is.
I tried going on the internet for looking up stuff in Radio Shack, and it doesn't seem like their internet site works anymore.
Oh, really? That's interesting. I mean, that's too bad. They, you know, they were not a great company, but for components like that, it worked out well. You know, you can go right to the store and get what you needed. You know, I got several components from them. I think that pack of resistors you showed me was Radio Shack, right?
Yes, it was, and I cannot tell you. I think I bought those resistors back about 30 years, 25, 30 years ago when I did the mod on my HR2510 that I had.
Yeah, didn't they start out as somebody else, a different name, Radio Shack? Was it Arrow Electronics or something?
I don't know. That something pops in my head when you said that, but I remember at one time, weren't they the Tandy Corporation?
KD2BORN1LU, yeah, definitely.
They give you a resistor color code chart on the back of this package.
I have one downloaded that I keep in my shack. Yeah, that's one thing I might pick up at the next HamFest, just get a whole bunch of, maybe find somebody that's selling a bag of vintage resistors.
Not a bad idea. They're not like electrolytics. They don't go bad. I don't think they go bad unless they burn up in a circuit.
Yeah, or if they've been abused by moisture.
I'm going to write myself a note and put it to that pack. I want to get my Fluke 88 out. I'm going to check those resistors and see if they're still in spec.
So you think they're that old, huh? That might be a collector's item.
Well, I've been with Debbie for 33 years. And 32 or 33. Or 30, I don't know what. Since 1983, so 32 years. And I know for a fact that I bought the HR2510 when it first came out. And that's gotta be 30 years ago when that radio came out.
What mod did you do on it?
Take a guess.
I don't know, there were so many of them.
And let's put it this way, I broadbanded it.
Okay, frequency expansion. We were using that radio. We were going to mod it out to use it with a transverter to get on 2-meter sideband. You had to add something to it. I forgot what the hell it was that you had to add to it in order to work 2-meter sideband, or in order to operate the transverter properly. I forgot what it was. But that was a pretty cool radio. It was one of the first radios I had.
Well, that had FM in it. You could do FM 10-meter simplex. But I had the HR2600, the successor to that, which they upgraded with the 100 split, and it had the PL phones in it.
I still like that Ranger. Was it 3800? I forgot now. 3500, RCI 3500.
Yeah, it was called the Ranger 3500, I think. I had the 100-watt version of that. They made a lower wattage version. That was not actually... It was a Ranger was the name of it, but Ranger did not make it.
I didn't realize that. I see those pop up every so often because I have it on my my saved list in on eBay. So whenever one of those comes up, it shows me. I've also got that standard... what the hell is the model number of it? I forget now. I'd love to get one of those in good condition. That would be a perfect radio to put in my wife's car. But every time it tells me there's one on eBay, I go over there and it's some automotive part. I've got to refine that and put a transceiver so that I don't keep getting those automotive parts popping up.
N1LU, KD2BOR. The AR-3500 was made around 1985 in Japan, so that was 2 years after I started going with Debbie. And it was the company that was distributing it was Clear Channel Corporation. They were up in Washington State, because when mine got hit by lightning that time, I sent it back to them and they repaired it. It didn't get hit too bad. It only blew a resistor and a capacitor.
Yeah, Clear Channel, yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah, they pop up every so often on eBay, and depending on the condition they're in, they're asking for a lot of money.
were a lot of money brand new. I don't remember what we paid for mine. I think it was very close to $350 or $400. I don't remember. And I'll be honest with you, the frequency expansion on it was so simple, it was unbelievable.
I think that's the first radio I ever heard on ham radio. I think that's what that guy had in his truck, because it looks awful familiar, the front panel of it, buttons and everything. And that's the first radio I got exposed to ham radio on, was that one.
I'll have to show you this one time. I got some paperwork in my apartment that's as old as when I bought the radio. It advertises this guy was, this ham radio operator was doing a mod on the 2510 for power, working with a driver transistor and the final, because there was no adjustments in that radio in the final section except for the bias. And they were advertising the 2600.
I'd like to see that. You still have that radio?
I went to sell it on eBay and they knocked it down the way I advertised it, because it was a ham radio and not a CB. So what I did was I molested it. I sold the front panel. I sold the main board that had the big chip on it, the processor board that I had my mod on, and I sold the covers and everything, broke it down, and I actually got more money out of it doing that way.
That's amazing. It shows you people still have that radio and are looking for spare parts to keep it going.
Here's an AR3500, 100-watt version. Free shipping. The guy wants 325 berm.
In good looking shape.
Doesn't look bad at all. He's got it hanging under a shelf in his shack. It's lit up. Must have some type of mod done to this, because I don't remember this radio going there. It says 20. Oh my god, I don't know what it's on.
I'll have to check it out. Anyway, I'm here at work. Let me get inside. I'll talk to you later, Rock. KD2BOR, you'll hear me on and off over the course of my vacation. I'm not going anywhere. KD2BOR at 1LU.
All right, very good. I know I'm going to hear you next Wednesday, because you got to go in like